I'm Madeline Brand, sitting in for Warren Olney. A federal court has ordered California to reduce its prison population, and so California is sending more low-level offenders to county jails. But the state still has 9,600 too many prisoners, and they need to be moved out of crowded prisons by the end of the year, in just 5 months. That may force the state to release as many as 1,000 prisoners before they've completed their sentences. And at the same time, there are still hundreds of prisoners on a hunger strike protesting against the Department of Corrections' use of solitary confinement. Paige St. John has been following both of these stories. She's in Sacramento for the Los Angeles Times. Hi there.
Yes, hello.
Okay, well, let's first talk about this order to reduce the prison population. And do state officials say we don't really have any other choice but to release 1,000 prisoners?
Well, state officials who up until the Supreme Court refused to give California more time were warning that they would be forced to release inmates and that would cause a public safety threat, have now changed their tune and say that they are doing everything they can to find private prison beds for most of those inmates. We tallied up the numbers of the potential contracts that the state is discussing at this point. That still leaves a gap of about 1,000 inmates that may have to be released.
And where would they go? Just out into the streets?
Most of these, under the programs that California is looking at, wouldn't really go out onto the streets, more like nursing homes and assisted living facilities. That's because the state's first two options that it's considering are medical parole expansion and elderly parole. And most of those individuals would require some kind of nursing care.
And so who would pay for that, the nursing care of these elderly?
Good question. Probably the medical receiver's office concedes probably taxpayers, but through different programs and most likely through federal programs.
So they could find 1,000 old and seriously ill prisoners to release. They wouldn't have to release young offenders who might reoffend if they're released.
Right. The medical receiver's office has already identified 900 individuals who would fit the new criteria for medical parole. These are people who have Alzheimer's, who have end-stage liver disease, who are critically and seriously ill.
Has the state been dragging its heels on this? I mean, they've been under this overcrowding order for a long time now.
Many years, yes. Yeah, California has been fighting this in one way or another for more than a decade, and the overcrowding order since 2006. And it continues to fight. The governor is not dropping his appeal to the Supreme Court. But that appeal likely won't be heard until next year, so he is forced to do something by the December 30th deadline that California is now under, or he faces contempt of court.
I guess I find it hard to understand why he is so loath to release these prisoners who don't, on the face of it, seem like much of a threat to society.
There are huge political ramifications for anything he does. When it comes to prisons and public safety, he already has attracted a potential challenger in the gubernatorial race, Abel Maldonado, who is criticizing the governor's prison policies and claiming that Brown is endangering public safety already with his AB 109, with the program that diverted a lot of offenders to county jails. So to release prisoners to the street is a political landmine.
Even if these are prisoners with dementia who are not able to take care of themselves and who'll be in nursing homes, that's still considered a political liability?
That is less of a political liability than a healthy 30-year-old member of a street gang who is near, you know, the end of his sentence and might be released 3 months early. The experts who've been hired by the plaintiffs, in other words, those who represent inmates, have argued repeatedly before the court that none of these releases pose a significant public safety threat, but it's the rhetoric that's the greatest danger.
Well, speaking of street gangs, there's been an interesting twist to the hunger strike story. One of the leaders of the hunger strike at Pelican Bay, Arturo Castellanos, who's in prison on a sentence of life without parole. He's been held in isolation for 23 years. He was just named in a federal indictment as an unindicted co-conspirator in an indictment against the Mexican mafia. Now, what's the significance of that as he is leading this hunger strike?
This raises a lot of interesting wrinkles. The first, which should not be a surprise, is that these guys are not Boy Scouts. Arturo Castellanos is one of four main leaders, they call themselves representatives, of the hunger strike from Pelican Bay, and they're from the Short Quarter, which is where the Corrections Department put gang leaders in an effort to isolate them and control communications and lock them down. And by coincidence, then these men band together and became the leaders of the current protest. So the other three are also alleged in one way or another to be prominent gang leaders. In a federal indictment, Arturo Castellanos is named as still controlling the Florencia 13 up until as recently as 2 years ago from that isolation cell within Pelican Bay. It raises questions of how effective this solitary confinement program the state has is, but it also highlights the danger of the individuals that the state says it needs to lock down.
All right, Paige St. John from the Los Angeles Times, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
In a moment, on To the Point, officials in Yemen say they've thwarted a plan this week by al-Qaeda to seize a major port and kill or kidnap scores of workers there. It's unclear how real that threat is, but this news comes just days after the U.S. closed 19 embassies across the Middle East and Africa as a precaution. On To the Point, are we seeing a resurgent al-Qaeda?